Now, here's something from the Minnesota Highway Department just in. Here are the highways known to be closed due to tonight's storm. 10 in Spring Lake Park, Highway 10 at the junction of 65, Highway 12 is closed through Minnetonka, Highway 100 is closed north of the Twin Cities at the East River Road. Many more highways and roads are closed due to either fallen trees or downed power lines. As of yet, there has not been enough time to survey the total effect of tonight's storm on highways. Motorists are strongly urged not to travel at all tonight, especially in the rain, when live power lines and debris are almost impossible to see.
Right before we bring in Chuck Lilligan, I understand he's standing by on our WCCO radio mobile unit at Spring Lake Park. Let's remind you that this tornado coverage coming to you from the station that serves the nation with studios in Minneapolis and St. Paul at 830 WCCO.
It's 11:30 Central Standard Time.
Dick Chapman, Charlie Boone, Jurgen Nash, Rob Brown, Arv Johnson, the whole gang here standing by with coverage for you, and Chuck Lilligren is standing by in our mobile unit. Chuck?
Just a couple of minutes ago, Charlie, another little storm passed through here with heavy rain. We were holding up until it got too cold to hold a piece of hail the size of a ping pong ball. Several of those came down. That's gone by again now. You didn't mention Highway 8. We received word that Highway 8 is closed around County Trunk J because of wires down. As we mentioned before, this area here is a shelter, an emergency shelter area. It's a roller rink, and they've set up command posts here. They have a temporary morgue with the two fatalities we mentioned earlier. There are doctors on hand here to treat the wounded. They're being sent from here as they're found to the hospitals in the area, which we understand are full now, and they're now sending them to the Twin Cities. This is by no means a cleanup job as yet. There's no question of any cleanup job as yet, but crews are going out to search for people who may be trapped in their homes in the hardest hit areas. Has anybody mentioned, Charlie, I have been away from the radio for a few minutes now, that Mr. Messick at the Hotel Nicollet has offered space for tornado victims?
We haven't had that message, no.
That message came through the highway department. Don't ask me how they got it, but they gave it to me. Neil Messick at the Hotel Nicollet has offered space for tornado victims.
Fine.
And from here, with a lot of lightning, and we still see these huge hailstones on the ground, gives you a strange feeling when you hear them banging on the car. We turned the transmitter on when they were coming down. I don't know if you heard them or not there, but they make a lot of noise. And when those folks were talking about baseball-size hail, well, this was plenty for us right here.
Well, okay, Chuck, we've got Johnny Walker in Mound, and we'll bring him in, and thank you for that report.
Right, Charlie.
Okay. Chuck Lilligren reporting from our WCCO radio unit in Spring Lake Park. Tremendous damage there. Dick?
More information that's been phoned in through civil defense authorities about damage in the area of Halstead Bay at Minnetonka. County Road 44, there are three homes blown across the road. In a place known as Loring Acres in the Minnetonka area, three homes demolished. On County 44, let's see, between Mound and Highway 7, the road, County 44, is blocked by houses. That's something weird.
Let's switch now to WCCO's Johnny Walker at Mound, Minnesota.
Well, Charlie, it's quite a story to tell out here. I've just talked with the fire chief, Bernard Winkle, who confirms what we've known all along, that there would be dead in this tornado. He identifies three dead people here in the Island Park area as Mr. and Mrs. Clarence Paulson, P-A-U-L-S-O-N, and Mrs. John Iverson. Mrs. Iverson was pulled from her shattered home and died later after being rescued. The other couple were found about 100 feet away from their home. I've just made a tour of the Island Park area, and by far it is the worst devastation on the lake. If we could compare it to what we saw in Navarre a little earlier, it makes Navarre look a little bit tamer than it, however, it's just as bad. In making the rounds of the Island Park area, which is a beautiful residential area that actually sits on an island out in the lake and is connected by bridges, we've noticed some things like this. A pontoon boat that had been blown through backyards, and the thick steel hull of the pontoons crumpled as though a child had picked up a paper bag and squeezed it. This pontoon boat was on the lake and had been blown some 200 yards through homes. A number of homes, I noticed the home of fireman, volunteer fireman Roger Latterall. His house is completely demolished. It was a brand new home, and when I went out there with Phil Weiland, another one of the volunteer firemen, to look in the wreckage It's unbelievable that 11-course brick basement is completely ripped apart, concrete block by concrete block. It's just as though somebody had planted a bomb in there. There's a shredding action of these winds. You can see it as you survey the damage in the darkness. It's like stacks of toothpicks on edge and thrown around. It reminds you of that old game of pickup sticks. There's just boards and trees and branches scattered all over. Some of the other things I noticed, one car, a little compact model, but still a hefty little car, 2.5 feet up on a concrete retaining wall. How it got there, it couldn't have been there, gotten there without the wind. I saw a house on edge, a little one bungalow house, probably in the $10,000 to $15,000 category, about 100 feet away from its foundation and on edge, just as though it had been picked up by a giant and placed there. Also, we noticed that a sink from a home, a beautiful kitchen sink, was planted in a tree about 10 feet up in the air. And these are things that people cannot believe, actually, till they see them. And the problem of people has been one of the problems that's bothering the rescue workers here. They're still shuttling the injured. We figure that right now there are about 15 or 18 people injured, all the way from such things as severe back injuries to broken legs and arms. The fire chief, Bernard Winkle, says he's not sure that he's gotten everybody out. They're now depending on people to friends and neighbors not finding their friends and neighbors and coming in and checking, because there's just no way of telling where the injured might be.
Okay, John.
Bye, Charlie.
John Walker reporting from Mound, Minnesota, and his impressions of the damage along Lake Minnetonka area. John, we'll be talking to you later.
Fine, sir.
Okay. Report that County Road 18 south of Osseo, high power lines are down.
And a report that confirms what we already know, but maybe gives you a better picture of the friendly damage. North of the Mississippi River, between University and Central, what was a residential district in Fridley is now an open field. 10 to 12 houses are gone, and 20 to 25 are heavily damaged. We now have been able to revise our fatality list to this extent. 7 known dead and 5 identified. Here are the 5 identified fatalities. Mr. and Mrs. Clarence Paulson of Mound. Mrs. John Iverson of Mound. 26-year-old Robert Clark of Anoka. 79-year-old Mrs. Alma Grindy of Duluth. Visiting in Spring Lake Park, where she was killed, and 56-year-old Ray Purbix of Norwood. Someone has been rounding up some insurance claim suggestions. People wanting to know what to go, where to go, what to do in the event of all has heavy damage. First you have to call your insurance agent or company and report that your property has been damaged in the morning, not tonight. The trunk lines are overloaded at the moment. The second thing you do is make temporary repairs as are necessary to prevent further damage and keep a record of the cost when you do that. If you're compelled to leave your home and seek shelter elsewhere, you have to keep a record of your expenditures for the food and shelter and other items. This expense may be covered by your insurance, not necessarily. If yours is not an emergency case, remember there are many that are, and do not request that your case receive immediate attention. And fifthly in this little list of suggestions, when you report your damage, give your agent or company information as to where you could be reached by phone and just what the nature of your damage is. And remember, that's tomorrow now that you do things like that, not tonight.
At times like this, many agencies cooperating with each other, and radio station Kano, K-A-N-O, of Anoka, is cooperating with WCCO with their mobile unit in Anoka at Mercy Hospital right now.
Yes, we are at Mercy Hospital, just checking at the admissions desk, and we find that so far, as they can determine, they have had 81 patients admitted. Now, they are still coming in. These are coming in from Spring Lake Park, from Fridley, and from New Brighton. The situation is under control at the hospital. It is a virtual madhouse in the hospital with people milling all over, but things are going along real fine at Mercy Hospital. Once again, we repeat, there are about 81 victims that have come in that are victims of the tornado, and they are from the Fridley, Columbia Heights, and the Spring Lake Park and New Brighton area. Now, as far as we know so far, and we will check on this further, but there has been no appreciable damage in Coon Rapids.
Very good. That report from radio station Kano, its mobile unit in Anoka at Mercy Hospital here on WCCO Radio. Another report from the University of Minnesota area. Hail the size of Little League Baseball. And that's pretty big size hail. This happened just 15 minutes ago. It's 21 minutes before midnight, Central Standard Time, and reports are continually coming into our WCCO radio center here. And we have our WCCO mobile unit, Chuck Lilligren, who reported in from Spring Lake Park, and Johnny Walker at Mound and along the Lake Minnetonka area. And, of course, many of you. And we certainly want to thank everyone, all the citizens and the various agencies who have helped us report this story and keep you in touch with the areas that were devastated by the storm. We're getting calls now, a lot of people calling in wondering how their friends or neighbors are in a certain area of the city, and we can't give that kind of information yet because we're getting so many names, and so we'll have to wait until later. As far as school closings are concerned, we're going to have to wait. Franklin Hobbs should be around at midnight or thereafter following the news with music from Hobbs House all through the night. And, of course, we'll continue this coverage of the tornado here from WCCO Radio. Mentioned the County Road 18 south of Osseo high-power lines are down, and we'll be waiting for more reports on that. We having points of coverage all over. Dick Chapman here with me, Charlie Boone, and Jurgen Nash, and Rob Brown, and Bob Tibbetts from WCCO Radio News, all reporting on the damage of the tornado.
Charlie, remember, we didn't have any definite information on the Circle Pines area, which is kind of bracketed right between two severe damage areas in Fridley and Spring Lake Park. And Circle Pines, a man called in just to inform us that all he could see wrong was power lines down on Highway 8 around the speedway there,
right,
on County J. And we're informed by Chuck that Highway 8's been closed because of those power lines. And he said, this was just a few minutes ago, he said there's heavy hail in Circle Pines at the time he called in. Boy, it's amazing that such severe weather can continue for so many hours. I just don't understand it.
We thought that as night came on, it would dissipate.
Why, of
and,
course.
It's continued, and new storm areas are cropping up all the time.
I'll tell you true. I've lived in what is known as Tornado Alley all my life, all the way from Tornado Alley, actually, is mostly Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, up that way, mm-hmm. Although I think they consider it stretching into Minnesota and through Iowa. And generally, when tornadoes hit, they come in singles or, at most, pairs. It's not to say that occasionally you don't get a cluster like this, mm-hmm. which is obviously what we had, but I never knew that. I don't recall in my experience or the talking to other people who have lived in this area, in the Midwest, all their life, that what is turning out to be a seven-hour span of severe weather can last that long, punctuated with so much damage and so many continuing storms.
I was in Fargo when the storm happened there. I think it was 57.
That's right, yes.
And something like June 20th, 57, and that was a bad storm which hit that north side of Fargo, but it was quick. I mean, you know, it was came through and it was over with.
That's right.
And nothing like this. And mm-hmm. It cleared up after that.
We remind you that the Weather Bureau indicates they are still continuing the severe weather and possible tornado warning from in a long 50-mile-wide stretch from Faribault, below the Twin Cities, through the Twin Cities, to Lake Superior. That would be, looking at your map, right up through the Twin Cities along the Minnesota-Wisconsin border to Duluth Superior there at the corner of Lake Superior. And in Wisconsin, this means everything in northwestern Wisconsin north of a line from Alma to Iron Mountain, Michigan in the Upper Peninsula. And that's quite a section of northwest Wisconsin, and that warning is expected to continue until midnight Central Standard, until 1 o'clock Central Daylight Time. And right now we have 17 minutes before midnight Central Standard, 17 minutes before 1 Central Daylight Time.
We're trying to pinpoint some of the damage in Island Park, and we have a Mr. Burquist on the line who can tell us about some of the damage in that area. You live right there? Sir?
Yes, we're on the south side of the island.
Uh-huh. And have you had a chance to survey some of the damage in Island Park?
The neighbor lady's husband came from Excelsior, which took him nearly 2 hours to get through.
How far is that?
I wouldn't imagine this is more than 6-7 miles.
It
took nearly a half hour to get just from the road.
Because of fell trees and damage and debris, you mean?
Yes, he said it was very badly damaged. Of course, you've gone over Navarre already, the damage there.
Yes.
The island, but from what I could tell, I could hear this thing coming, and it seemed to pass just north of us. What seemed to me, by what I can tell on your broadcasting, that it was from through Mound, the northern part of Island Park. It couldn't have been a quarter mile away from us. It's just across the swamp, across the back of our house, and it must have started right on the other side of that, from what I can tell from your damage report.
Right. Well, we appreciate your calling in.
We weren't hit here at all.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Charlie, maybe we can help here with another youngster. Now, we don't, we're not handling very many of these personal messages, but in many cases, in the event of a small child, we have to help and should, of course. And this is one of those cases. This is a 4-year-old boy that is missing that we'll try and help contact, and we'll need help from listeners. 4-year-old Gregory Magsan, M-A-G-S-A-N. Gregory Magsan, 4 years old. He's missing in the Moundsview, New Brighton area. And he's blonde, blue-eyed, had a red and white fine-checked shirt on and blue trousers. And this lad has a hearing defect. He doesn't hear well. If you spot what may be him, you may have to go up close to him and talk loudly to him. 4-year-old Gregory Magsan. Now, they're trying to locate him, and if he is found, he should, the person finding him should call Mercy Hospital in Anoka, the information desk, and the number is 427-2200. Mercy Hospital, 427-2200. Mercy Hospital's in Anoka. 4-year-old Gregory Magsan, young lad with a hearing defect that is being sought now.
Dick, we've been talking about this long storm for 7 hours, and a gentleman called in from Bloomington, and he says, well, there's some good news to report. In that area, he can see the moon in the west, which is coming up. So maybe this bad, turbulent weather and hail and wind is starting to move out of our area. We certainly hope so.
I'm sorry, I was busy talking to someone else.
I know you were. The moon is shining over Bloomington, over
beautiful.
The Mets.
Beautiful. Boy, that's a friendly sight, I'll bet.
I guess it is. The skies are starting to clear.
Well, apparently we're getting people confused as to who they're listening to. That's what I was just straightening out there.
Yeah.
Unless I was missing something, we didn't have a call for a certain type of blood.
No, we did not. Okay, not that
good.
I remember. And,
all right.
I would remember that, I'm sure.
I was just sitting here trying to jot down the areas that we know of that have at least reportable types of damage. And I might run through them for people who've not been with us during the evening and don't know the extent of the storm so far. But we know that there's been damage of various degrees at Mound, Island Park, Navarre, and Cottagewood in the Minnetonka area. We know that there was enough damage, enough debris on Highway 12 in the Minnetonka area to close Highway 12 there. We know that there's been damage in North Minneapolis, Fridley, Columbia Heights, Golden Valley, New Brighton, specifically Spring Lake Park. We know damage in those areas of varying degrees now. We know that there was damage at least at the Anoka Airport, severe damage there. We know that there was severe damage at Norwood, Minnesota. Now, there could be other areas, but that seems to be where most of the reports are coming from, and the damage reports from those areas varies in degrees. We know that Spring Lake Park was hard hit. We know that portions of Fridley were extremely hard hit. We know that there have been some North Minneapolis and Northeast Minneapolis areas extremely hard hit.
No, we don't.
We also know that Mound was pretty hard hit, and some of the scattered areas all around the Lake Minnetonka area. But you never know as far as people trying to find out about a specific house, a specific family, or a specific location, whether it was completely untouched or damaged to some degree, because you heard the gentleman earlier calling from the Excelsior area, saying that the entire South Minnetonka shore on the upper lake was just left untouched. But not more than half a dozen blocks from there, there was some heavy damage. So tornadoes can hit one house, leave another standing. In the Kansas City tornado of 1956, I believe it was, the year before the Fargo tornado, Charlie, I can remember going through the damage area as a newsman and finding one house completely untouched. I mean this.
Mm-hmm.
And the house right next door, not 6 feet, 12 feet away, gone.
It's a strange phenomenon. It really is. You know, it's kind of heart-rending. People call in and say, well, gee, I have a sister or somebody over in the Fridley area, and I can't get to them by phone. The lines are tied up, and I want to know whether this street is affected or not. And it's impossible for us at this point to tell you exactly, to pinpoint specifically the areas by street, I mean, that are affected. It's almost impossible at this point, so there isn't anything we can
There are two Fridley areas that we could mention that we know were ripped up pretty badly, and one, they're highly localized areas now. One is that Melody Manor area. We talked to the gentleman who built some of the houses there and lived there.
And the trailer...
One is the Fridley Terrace trailer court. Another is the area...
Around the school.
An area north of the Mississippi River between University and...
this is WCCO.
Oh, boy, the other street there. At any rate, there's about 10 or 12 homes in that area that are ripped out and completely missing, and another 20 to 25 heavily damaged. Boy, I'm surprised that... I hope that it's just... I'll say I'm surprised that the fatality report is so low. I'm hoping that it won't grow, although we know that the count is up to 7 now, 5 of which we have identified, and we'll repeat for you during the midnight news with our WCCO Radio News Bureau is going to put together in a hurry.
A call from...
Did you hear that?
From Crystal at 8:15 indicates power is out in that community. And... power out in, I'm sure, many communities around this area of CCO land. And they'll restore it as soon as possible, I'm sure.
We have an urgent message here for the National Guardsmen. All personnel of Company C, 1st Battalion, 135th Infantry, ordered to report to the East Side Armory in St. Paul at once. Now, this has to do with the Fridley damage. All personnel of Company C, 1st Battalion, 135th Infantry, are hereby ordered to report to the East Side Armory in St. Paul to go to work in the badly damaged Fridley area. This is an order from National Guard authorities official. Company C, 1st Battalion, 135th Infantry, report to the East Side Armory in St. Paul immediately.
Yeah. I got Vince Menard from Island Park on the line, Dick. Yes, Vince?
I wondered if the three casualties reported from Mound include... No, in Island Park there were two twisters, one that passed on the east side and one passed on the west side of Island Park. And I talked to an ambulance driver here who says that there have been three positive deaths from the west side of the island, and I wondered if those were the three deaths reported from the Mound fire chief, I believe it was.
We don't know exactly where. We do know that these are the only three identified, and that was a Mr. and Mrs. Clarence Paulson of Mound and Mrs. John Iverson of Mound. The fire chief was the fellow who made the identification.
Uh-huh. Well, the situation out here is very poor. The power is still off, and I was the twister that hit on the east side of the island. I happened to get caught in that in my car, and it came from the north. It came from the north across Black Lake. And I saw the twister approaching, and it was a water spout at that time.
Yes, over the water it would be a water spout.
And it appeared to be about, probably 25 to 30 feet in diameter and perfectly cylindrical. And I saw it coming. Of course, I didn't hear anything, and it came so fast that I stopped the car immediately and got down on the floorboard of the car, and there's no trees or anything there. It's a levee of a sort. So I thought I was perfectly safe. Well, it hit like a freight train, and it picked up my car with me in it and drove me about 150 yards out onto the lake and then into the lake. And the car sunk like a cannonball, you know, and I feel very fortunate to be here, but
You were lucky to be able to open the door against that pressure.
Well, I couldn't get the door open. I had to take a window out. It was a small foreign car. I suppose the lightweight had a lot to do with it. But then the power lines are all down out here, and they're writhing on the pavement like snakes. And the twister that went through I thought I could add that the twister that went through the east side of the island, I went to a house, and they gave me shelter there, and I saw three houses that were completely demolished. And trees down all over, and I don't know how much more damage on that side of the island there is, but evidently the west side of the island, which would be closer to Mound, was most severely hit. That's where the ambulance driver told me that there were three DOAs up there for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so,
I didn't catch your name, sir.
Vincent Bernard.
You're from where?
I'm from Mound. I live on Island Park, though.
I see.
And the entire south side of Island Park, I heard from one of your previous calls that towards Excelsior, the south side of the lake was untouched.
We were talking about the south side of the upper lake now.
Yes.
From Excelsior, around in that vicinity.
Yes, and this is up on the north side now.
Uh-huh.
But on the south shore, everything has been untouched. Our house was nothing. I mean, a few twigs down and everything, but they took each side of the island and just completely demolished it out here.
Those two twisters.
Yes.
Let me ask you, what happened to your car? Did it sink? How deep was the water where it went in?
Well, it's about, I'd say 25 feet, because when I got up to the surface, the lights were still on in the car, which was odd, and I could still see the car.
Yeah,
and the wind was blowing from behind me then, which made it quite easy to swim to shore, and I would say the car is in 20 to 25 feet of water.
In other words, you waited until after it was deposited in the water, then you got the window out and got out of the car.
Yes. There wasn't much choice to it, really.
Pretty a wild ride, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
You pretty young fella?
No. Well, yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
Uh-huh.
But it was quite an experience. I feel very fortunate.
You're a little gray right now, I imagine.
Say, Vince, you know that when you've been in a funnel like this, you almost immediately become a celebrity and also a scientific object. Because, truthfully now, the people who study tornado funnels would like to talk to you. I'm sure that they'll get in touch with you after this is all over. And they want to know exactly what happens. Now, I want to know, did your car spin around in a circle or not?
No, it rolled. Well, it rolled on a different axis to the tornado itself, the twister. And I've got a lot of bumps and bruises to prove it. But anyway, the car, which is surprising, but it rolled on an axis 90 degrees from the twister, so the car was rolling sideways, so to speak. But it picked the car up, and you could feel the car drop again, and then it picked it up again and dropped it. And this was, as far as I could tell,
you couldn't,
between 100 and 150 yards from the road itself.
You couldn't tell how far in the air you got at one time.
No.
I don't suppose you were looking.
So there was no warning, no sound. I just saw it, and it was there. It was
pretty good swimmer, are you?
Well, I was then, I guess.
After you got out of the car, could you tell which way the water spout went?
No, but the twister it's the same twister that went through the business district of Navarra.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my watch on at the time, and my watch stopped at exactly 19 minutes of 8. So I assume that's what time the twister hit out here. And, of course, Navarra is just completely level. It's unbelievable. There's just nothing left. So, and as far as the rest of the Minnetonka area, or the Phelps Bay around this area, I'm sure that there's even more extensive damage than they received on the island out here.
Vince, you're a lucky guy to be alive.
Well, I feel very lucky.
And, Vince, you're a nice guy to call us and give us your experience.
Well, I just would like to add that anyway and say how sorry I feel for all the people that weren't as fortunate as I am. I know there's a lot of them, and I suppose that total will raise even higher yet. But
okay, you betcha. Vince Bernard, thank you.
Yes, okay, thank you
Mound,
very much.
Minnesota. We've just received the all-clear bulletin for the Twin Cities and suburbs. Thank heavens. Weather Bureau radar now shows the main band of thunderstorms lying just east and northeast of the Twin Cities area, northeastwards towards Lake Superior, and moving northeastward still at 35 miles per hour. No further tornadoes or severe thunderstorms are expected in the Twin Cities and suburban area the remainder of the night. However, counties in Wisconsin, northeast of the Twin Cities, should remain alert for severe weather during the next few hours, as indicated in previous severe weather warnings. That would include about a dozen counties of northwest Wisconsin, from a line running from Alma, Wisconsin, on the Mississippi, near St. Paul, all the way to Ironwood, Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula. Everything north of that line is included in the severe weather warning in Wisconsin. But repeating, the severe weather warning has now been lifted for the Twin City and suburban area. No further tornadoes or severe thunderstorms are expected in the Twin Cities area tonight.
That's a great relief. We have on the line, Dick, Bob Chevalier, reporting from the Anoka Airport with an official report on damage. Bob?
Yes, Charlie.
Go ahead. How do things look out there?
Pretty tough. The brunt of the storm apparently hit here about 7:20 when they lost their power. And we've had an opportunity to visit with Mr. Matheson of the Metropolitan Airports Commission, who's out here now, and Marv Schert, who operates the Marvin's Aircraft Flying Service. The damage to the aircraft appears to be somewhere between $250,000. Fortunately, there are no injuries or fatalities known in the airport area.
How many aircraft would you say were totally damaged?
They're trying to complete the survey now that the power has been restored, and it looks like someplace between 40 and 50, Charlie.
Well, that's a lot of aircraft.
They really look pretty sad. There's aircraft over on their back, crushed up against the hangars. Aircraft have been smashed into each other, rolled up in a ball. There's even some larger aircraft up to 9 ton that were moved around and suffered severe to moderate damage. So out here, fortunately, there were no injuries, but it looks as if the damage will be very heavy, and it was compounded by a severe flash of hail that struck about 11:30 to clean up the aircraft that hadn't been previously damaged.
Well, Bob Chevalier, we appreciate this report.
You're certainly welcome, Charlie.
Fine. Bob Chevalier from KSSM reporting to WCCO Radio on the damage at the Anoka Airport.
One of the reasons that there was no damage to Anoka itself is that the Anoka Airport is quite a distance from there in Blaine Village, as I understand it. And that's why the damage was done mostly at the airport. Repeating that official order from the National Guard, all personnel of Company C, 1st Battalion, 135th Infantry, are hereby ordered to report to the East Side Armory in St. Paul immediately. This will be in connection with the tornado damage in Fridley.
I'm sure there'll be lots of school closings as a result of this storm, and those will be compiled and given to you first thing in the morning.
Right, and probably through the evening. I have some information from Northern States Power Company now, which will give us a much better picture as to where the damage lies and what to expect. We'll just kind of lump this up together in little news here, Charlie, before we let Frank Hobbs come in here with some pleasant sounds for a change.
All right, and they will be most welcome sounds, too.
The hardest hit in the Minnetonka area, these are the places which are what NSP calls out at the moment. In other words, electric power out. Wayzata, Spring Park, Island Park, downtown Navarre, Chanhazen, and the Christmas Lake area around Highway 7. Major feeder lines are out in these areas. In addition, distribution is tangled up with trees, houses, poles, etc. In some cases, complete lines will have to be rebuilt. NSP now has on the job in Minnetonka, in addition to every available lineman in the Minnetonka division, 10 complete crews coming in from St. Paul and St. Cloud with trucks and equipment. They expect to have crews from divisions farther out by morning. In the Minneapolis division, 250 linemen are on the job right now. Service has been restored to everything except Spring Lake Park, Mounds View, and suburban Fridley. In addition, one feeder line down has taken out the northwest corner of Brooklyn Center from 69th Street to 51st Street. Another major feeder line down has taken out the area in Minneapolis from 48th Avenue North to 42nd and from Washburn to the river. Otherwise, all Minneapolis division has the service except for occasional isolated pockets in northern portions of Minneapolis. In St. Paul, there is no trouble with electric service, according to NSP. The St. Paul Gas Service in Mounds View reports 25 houses flattened in a two-block area at Knoll and Lois. Some crews are shutting off valves in houses, but in some cases so much rubble is in the way they can't find the gas valves. More crews are en route, but they've had so much trouble with traffic that the sheriff is en route to meet them and lead the crews to the scene. The picture is complicated by missing street signs and ripped up pavement. NSP says if necessary, they'll dig down to the mains and cut them off. Rigs now en route have capping tools for those gas lines. There's another warning there for the people who may be in the damage area. Leaking gas in the area of the damaged homes is extremely dangerous, of course. Fallen power lines everywhere are extremely dangerous. And a warning from Minneapolis police that for the past half hour or better, it has been illegal for any sightseers to be in the North Minneapolis damaged area without proof of reason for being there. Police will issue tags to anyone found loitering in the North Minneapolis damaged area who cannot prove their right to be in the area in the first place. I'm repeating, the five identified dead we have in a total of seven counted so far statewide. 56-year-old Ray Perbix killed at Norwood, Minnesota, when a funnel hit his barn. 79-year-old Mrs. Alma Grindy of Duluth, who was visiting her son, Lloyd Grindy, in Spring Lake Park. She was killed. 26-year-old Robert Clark of Anoka was killed, where or how not specified. In the Island Park area of Mound, three fatalities, Mr. and Mrs. Clarence Paulson of Mound and Mrs. John Iverson of Mound. Two more unidentified dead known so far. The heavy damage areas include Norwood, Mound, Island Park, Navarre, Cottagewood, North Minneapolis, Fridley, Columbia Heights, Golden Valley, Spring Lake Park, and scattered other areas. But the Twin Cities Weather Bureau has just lifted the severe warning for the Twin City and suburban area. No further tornadoes or severe thunderstorms are expected in the Twin Cities and suburban area the remainder of tonight. However, counties in Wisconsin, northeast of the Twin Cities, should remain alert for severe weather during the next few hours, as indicated in the previous severe weather warnings. Now, that means in Wisconsin, everything north of a line from Alma on the Mississippi River to Iron Mountain, Michigan, and that effect continues in effect for the next few hours.
Trying to pinpoint some of these areas, Dick, and the hardest hit in Spring Lake Park, apparently, Abel and Ballantyne Streets. People familiar with that area. And to give you evidence of casualties, North Memorial Hospital in Robbinsdale received over 200 persons for treatment, and this happened between the hours of 8:15 and 11:30 tonight. Patients simply were being numbered, mostly from Coon Rapids and Fridley. A lot of people injured from flying glass. 81 casualties treated at Mercy Hospital at Anoka. And we had a call from Dean Johnson, who is the pharmacist at Bacon Drug in Excelsior, who said that he'll stay open as long as possible to be able to provide people with medical supplies and flashlights and food and so on. And hailstones measured more than 3 inches in Coon Rapids. Shatterproof glass. And here's a just in. Fridley Red Cross shelter is at the Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fridley. Franklin Hobbs is standing by. He'll have music for us from Hobbs' house in just a few minutes. Chuck Lilligren, is he on the line in our WCCO mobile unit? Chuck?
Yeah, we're here, Charlie.
Where are you now?
We're out in Spring Lake Park.
You're still at Spring Lake
still
Park.
Still here at the emergency shelter here. We're talking to a young gentleman who was driving through this. And your name?
Dave Durant.
Dave, what happened when the wind came?
I was driving north on Highway 65, and suddenly my car was buffeted by the winds, and it was lifted off the ground and spun around several times, and then it skidded down the median of the highway.
That was about 5 hours ago.
Yeah, about that.
Now, you've been helping out here. From what you can see, what's the situation here now?
Well, I've seen several houses demolished. There's one that was lifted off the foundation and thrown into a swamp, and they're afraid people might be in it. You can't recognize it as a house anymore. And I've seen two dead people brought in here so far.
Dave, you were mentioning earlier that we heard a truck racing its motor, and you kind of jumped. You said you're a little leery of all strange noises.
Yeah. Well, it's a strange noise, the tornado was. I don't really know whether I was right in the middle of it or on the edge or what, but there was a great shriek and loud. It's hard to describe. I can't really.
You'll remember it, though.
I guess so.
Have you, we noticed you just got about your first rest here. What are the crews doing now?
Well, they've been running around in the area. People come in and say there's someone buried in the house next door or something, and then we go out and take a look there, and usually they're exaggerating or they've been carried away a little bit, but there are a lot of houses destroyed. They're, I guess, planning on going out in full force in the morning when they can see better, although they will be working through the night.
Hey, So, Dave, thank you very much. Charlie, we'll be back with you again from here shortly. We'll be trying to talk to the man who's in more or less control of the operation here when he gets a chance to take a break from his radio.
Right. Chuck Lilligren reporting from Spring Lake Park with our WCCO radio mobile unit. Dick Chapman here, Charlie Boone here, Jurgen Nash, Bob Tibbetts, Rob Brown, Franklin Hobbs will have music for you in just a matter of minutes.
John Walker has been our man.
John Walker, our man at Minnetonka, right?
Well, we'll continue our special coverage throughout the evening, but I think we can certainly stand some decent sounds now from Franklin Hobbs, and of course, Frank will be ready to receive these reports from all over the region throughout the evening, I think. Yes. This is Dick Chapman and Charlie Boone, kind of wrapping up our continuous tornado coverage here, but that doesn't mean we're signing off. No, our men are still in the field, and our reports are still coming in.
We do want to thank all the people that cooperated and called in reports on twisters and damage reports. We appreciate this very much.
10 minutes after 12, Central Standard Time, and here's Frank Hobbs.
I say good morning. And Richard and Dick, and I know that you are thanking those people most sincerely for keeping us all well informed, but in turn, they certainly thank you for a job well done. I'll tell you, this thing called WCCO is something that I'm mighty, mighty proud to be attached to. You've done a splendid job, gentlemen. It's been a long, long evening for you. And it must be very gratifying to know that in many, many instances, we're absolutely positive you saved many lives by giving out the warnings and conditions, as you did from about 6 o'clock on, wasn't it? 6 o'clock this past evening. It's now 11 past midnight, and let's try some of the tender sounds right here.